From mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet tonight and keeping you company. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We've assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. And I have a very sort of special situation on my hands tonight that I'm going to be telling you about. Again, I'm here in Texas, and of course we have Sam the Animal Still along with investigator Shelley Wright at the Asheville studio, News Radio 570 WWNC. And we've been concerned throughout the program about, you know, the signals that we're getting with me being, you know, in this strange area. Am I sounding okay there, Sam?
Sounding pretty good right now, sir.
All right, good, good. Well, let me set the stage then. And let me explain to all of you even more about sort of where I am, because it makes a big impact on the things that I want to share with you this hour. And I, who knows, I'm going to tell you as much as I have to tell you. And then if we have time left over, I have plenty of weird news stories to catch up on. But, you know, as I mentioned earlier in the show, right after Halloween, my wife, Lauren, and I flew to Texas. That is where she is from. And right now, I am joining you from the ranch that is owned by Lauren's mother. Her name is Linda, and her husband, Dale. So now, this ranch is it's really out in the country. I mean, this ranch is, I would say, 35 to 45 minutes drive outside of San Antonio. That would be the closest big city. And this is a bona fide ranch. I mean, there's well over 100 acres here. I mean, it's very, very dark outside at night. You can look up at the sky with night vision and see quite a spectacle of stars. There are cows here, horses here, a whole nine yards. And there are a number of buildings on this property. Everything's bigger in Texas, right? Everything's spread out. It's kind of funny because when we're at the main house here, I mean, when you go to check the mail, you don't walk to the mailbox. You get in your truck and you drive to the mailbox. If you go outside of the main house and get in your car and you drive behind the house, deeper into the property, and you go about a quarter of a mile from the property, you will find a building which they use as an office slash guest house when needed. And that is where I am joining you from tonight. Okay, I'm sitting here alone in this building, which is on this big piece of property out here. I was telling Sam off the air, you know, sometimes you step outside here at night and you see this giant coal black form moving around, some kind of creature, and you hit your flashlight, and, well, it's a big bull with big horns, and you want to turn around and walk back inside. There is a certain, you know, spookiness just about being in this situation, especially considering that Texas is truly a place with blood-drenched soil. But compound that with the fact that if you're driving down the highway and you go past the entrance to this ranch, there also happens to be a Texas State Historical Marker that's pointing to this piece of property. And it's notable because this is one of the places where you find an early pioneer cemetery. It's just right out back here. There was a family called the Bell family, and they came into this area in the 1850s. This is pre-Civil War now, and had a homestead here. And the cemetery began as a family cemetery for them, And then, you know, they continued burying people here. It's my understanding that people were buried here up through, you know, the first half of the 20th century. So it's not surprising that there are a lot of spooky stories related to this piece of property and the buildings on it. I won't get into all those right now, but that will help sort of set the stage for you, because this plays an important role in what I'm about to tell you all. Now, here it is coming up on Christmas time. We'll say it's already pretty much holiday time. And every time the holidays roll around, I start thinking more and more about one of my most, favorite topics, which is tulpas. If you don't recall what a tulpa is, a tulpa is some kind of a thought form that is potentially externalized outside of a human brain or brains that takes on some form of external independent existence. For example, in the 1930s, there was a writer named Walter Gibson who lived in Greenwich Village in New York. And during that period of time, the shadow radio program was very popular. You know, the shadow knows, you know, what evil lurks in the hearts of men. And he got a contract to start writing novels about the shadow. And they were in such demand that he got to the point to where Walter Gibson, for years, was churning out a novel or two per month. So now imagine this. A guy sits by himself in a little house there near Greenwich Village for years. And he is focusing on these fictional characters day in and day out. And just, you know, I forget how many dozens of novels that he wrote.
Was it Walter Gibson, or are you talking about William Gibson?
I think it's Walter Gibson.
The one who coined the term, what was the cyberpunk or...
Cyberpunk? No.
Different sci-fi author?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Yeah. And Walter Gibson was also a part-time magician in terms of, you know, the entertainment type of magician. So the funny thing is, though, after Walter Gibson left that house, for many years afterward, people who lived there claimed that that house was haunted by the apparitions of his fictional characters. Okay, so they would actually see the shadow, you know, running down a hallway, or one of the shadow's villains whipping around a corner. It was as if he had focused so intensely upon these characters that some part of his imagination actually extended beyond his skull and produced some kind of an imprint on the environment that is almost like a holographic projection of these beings. They, whether or not they were alive or literally just some kind of, you know, like a movie being played in bits and pieces, you can sort of debate. But that's an example of what the ancient Tibetans called tulpas. These are thought forms that can be expended in some cases, like Gibson's case. It could be one person who has a great vivid imagination and enormous force of thought who's focusing over and over and over for a long period of time on the same kind of images. But it more often takes place with a group of people or groups of people over time. In the 1970s, there was a group of Canadian researchers that wanted to test this out. These folks were paranormal enthusiasts who would get together once a month, and they would sort of socialize and they'd talk about mysterious things. And they decided to see if they could create a ghost. And so they came up with this plan for an experiment where they just sat down with a piece of paper and they developed a profile for a fictional character that would become a ghost. They called him Philip. And they sketched a picture of him, And they fleshed out his life story. Well, he was a medieval aristocrat who became a warrior. Here was his favorite food. Here was his favorite color. These were the romances that he had. These were the struggles that he had in his life. Here's how he died. And once they got this nice, fully fleshed out profile, they started talking about him as if he were real and as if his spirit were there. And after a few months, they started having weird things happen in their meeting place. They'd hear things knocking on the walls and objects would move around. And every time that would happen, they would say, "Oh, there's Philip. There's Philip." Well, after a year of this, well, guess what? Philip materialized. He became real. And at that point, they realized, uh-oh, maybe it was a bad idea to manifest an ass-kicking medieval warrior because he started kicking their asses, slamming people against walls, pinning them against walls by shoving tables, throwing objects at them. I mean, they claim that this thing they created as a fictional being came to life.
They were kind of stupid for a bunch of scientists.
They were probably people who were more like us, just, you know, curious researchers.
Would we be so stupid?
Well, we did a very similar thing.
Actually, we did.
Yeah.
And it was worse than an ass-kicking medieval warrior.
Yeah.
We really are that stupid.
We apparently we are, because if you followed this show and our work for the past, you know, several years, you'll know that Shelley and I, along with many of our friends and colleagues, we were working with Warner Brothers on a movie called The Apparition, which was sort of based on the idea of the Philip experiment. And the concept was that, in Hollywood terms, well, a bunch of college students get together, they try to create a tulpa, and obviously they create this horrible thing, and it starts killing all of them, and everything goes wrong. But they hired me as a technical advisor on the film. My name is actually on screen in the credits there. I think it says ghost advisor or something like that. And we did real experiments in the lab to try to create tulpas, which is included in the Blu-ray extras of the movie. Well, that said, we're coming up on our first break, but I find this interesting because it occurred to me and Mobius, I think in 2008, hey, if this tulpa stuff is real, shouldn't Santa Claus be a tulpa? Because everybody around the world just about knows who Santa Claus is. They know what he looks like. They have all these characteristics attributed to him. So is it possible that a Santa Claus tulpa is out there? Well, when we come back from this break, I will tell you what we learned, and I'll tell you how this applies to the experiment that I'm doing right now here in Texas. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
A smile from a veil. Do you think you can tell?
Thank you.
Yeah, going out to high strangers around the world. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren, and tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. And you may and you should call Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville, North Carolina at 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402. And let me also make sure that all of you realize that, you know, I understand here at the holidays, people have a lot of things that they're interested in obtaining, wishing for. I remember Sears used to call their catalog the Wish Book. Well, if you go to joshuapwarren.com, there is no period after the P there, joshuapwarren.com, you can learn what all the fuss is about regarding the wishing machine, which, by the way, a couple weeks ago was featured in a really great, extensive, in-depth article in Popular Mechanics magazine. The wishing machine and Dr. Mulder and myself, we were all in there. So just go to joshuapwarren.com and watch the video, learn about this thing. And it's funny, just a few nights ago I was interviewed by the York College of Pennsylvania radio show. It's amazing I even have a voice doing a lot of radio interviews recently. And the host of that show is a professor at the college, and he bought a wishing machine, and he said right there on the air that he has made 10 wishes, and all 10 of them have come true. And he went into great detail about this. He made a relationship wish, it came true. He made a money wish, it came true. I mean, and he was saying, I can't explain it, I'm just telling you, this is what happened. This is the fact. So please go to joshuapwarren.com and check that out. Okay, before the break, we were talking about tulpas and how that, okay, if a tulpa begins as some kind of a clear, vivid image of a figure in the human imagination, and then that eventually, you know, that sows the seeds for this thing to externalize and become something that other people can also observe. Well, then, shouldn't there be a number of characters throughout history that would qualify as good tulpa fodder? And one of them would be good old Saint Nick, Santa Claus. He's been around for a long time. And not only has he been around for a long time, but he's been around in a different context than the average fictional character. I mean, you take Superman, for example. Superman's a striking figure. Everybody knows that Superman, what he looks like and how he's supposed to behave. But nobody has ever been told, oh, by the way, Superman is real. Okay, that has never, ever happened, right? But a lot of people get told Santa is real, particularly when they are kids. So Santa is very different. Now, there are other beings that we're told are real at some point in life, like the Easter Bunny or the Tooth Fairy. But those things, I don't believe, they don't make the same impression as Santa Claus. Because Santa Claus not only comes into your house, but he leaves a lot of really cool stuff for you, and that gets you excited, and that really, you know, psychs you up and makes your bioenergy feel powerful. I mean, Santa, I think, has been marketed probably in the modern era more than any other fictional being, and I use that word fictional in quotation. So it seems like if any image of a being has the potential to become a tulpa, it should be Santa. So in 2008, I went to my e-newsletter list. And if you're not a subscriber to my free e-newsletter, then you are missing out on all kinds of cool stuff all the time. There are thousands and thousands of people all around the world who subscribe to this. It's very simple to do so. You don't get ads and spam and a bunch of stuff like that. I pay so that you don't have to get that stuff. All you get
is what I send you when I sit down at my keyboard and I type stuff out with my grubby little fingers. And I'm telling you, sometimes you get typos and things like that because it's literally like me sitting down and writing you an email, except that email goes out to thousands of people. And if you go to joshuapwarren.com, you'll see a spot where you can sign up. You just put your email address into the little box and hit enter or submit or whatever, and boom, you're on it. And after that, I can email you what's going on. So I sent out an e-newsletter in December of 2008, and I said, hey, I know this may sound silly, but I'm being serious. Have any of you ever seen Santa Claus? And I'm talking like, you know, you're an adult, and you're looking at this from an adult perspective. Have you ever had an experience when you believe you actually saw Santa Claus? And I thought that nobody was going to respond. Boy, was I surprised when within hours, my inbox was full of emails from people saying, thank goodness that you have asked this question. I've always felt so stupid. I've never brought this up. But yes, this is my opportunity. And I got story after story after story. And I'm talking about, you know, very well-written, intelligent, sensible, rational presentations from these people all around the world telling me that they had seen Santa, whether he had actually come into the house, they'd see him in the living room, or frequently they'd go outside and they would see him flying away in the sleigh with the reindeer. And, of course, I follow up with these people and I say, are you sure that this was not some, you know, some prank or like were mom and dad dressing up? Or they're like, no. As an adult, I can tell you this was something completely separate. A lot of people said, I've never had a paranormal experience in my entire life, except I did see Santa Claus. And so over the years, I clearly have been really intrigued by this. And I have continued pursuing this area of study, and I don't know if anybody else in the world is. As a matter of fact, just a few days ago, I did the same thing. I sent out another e-newsletter. I know, Shelley, I know you're a subscriber to my e-newsletter. Are you, Sam?
Oh, yes, I am.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We don't want to miss a thing.
You saw the e-newsletter I sent. I said the same thing. I said, okay, guys, has anybody seen Santa Claus? This is not a joke. And the same thing happened within hours. I had like 12 emails just within like 3 hours from people saying, oh, my gosh, I'm so happy you asked this question. And I'm saving all this stuff, and I'm analyzing it, and I'm really taking it seriously. Well, that said, over the past 3 years, over the past three holiday seasons, I've been doing experiments to see if around holiday time we can, you know, create an experiment to manifest some kind of like a nicer tulpa. 3 years ago, I was in Asheville. I did a workshop about tulpas. And then last year, I was in Puerto Rico, and I did a thing with tulpas, an experiment. Now I'm in Texas. And by the way, I guess it was 3 years ago, Shelley, you were a part of the workshop, the tulpa workshop that I did at the Asheville Masonic Temple, which is where the Asheville Mystery Museum is located. When I said, I'm going to open this up to 10 people and 10 people only for a 2-day workshop, and we're going to get together, we're going to make a tulpa. And I won't go into all the details, but boy, did it work or did it work, Shelley, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it worked all right.
Are we going to find out that you're doing experiments on Santa? Is that where this is going? Are you going to ruin some kids' holidays?
And by the way, if you go to joshuapwarren.com and you click around, you'll find the report on the tulpa experiment. So anyway, gosh, okay, we're almost ready for our next break. This year, here in Texas, I decided, okay, I'm going to try to create my own little tulpa of a Santa Claus year. Because I've done this with groups before, but I wondered, how much can I do more or less on my own? So I went out to the mall in San Antonio, and I shopped around all day until I found the perfect little Santa Claus doll to serve as my model. When we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you what I've been doing with this Santa Claus doll.
Please don't.
And what happened last night. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville, North Carolina. This is Speaking of Strange. Thanks for spending your evening with us here on Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is presented by Wright's Coin Shop. And you ought to know this by now. The number to Wright's Coin Shop is 828-298-5402. That should be posted on your refrigerator by now. Even if you're not in the Asheville, North Carolina area, well, you can call them up and just see what they might be able to do to help you out. 828-298-5402. I also want to remind you that, you probably learned in most places by now the weather's turning cold. And that means, it is possible there could be blizzards and other situations that threaten your power at your house. So don't forget about the world's most powerful solar generator for the lowest price, guaranteed. It is called the Sunshine Simple Solar Generator. It was designed and created by me and my team. And I'm talking a generator that has no moving parts. It doesn't make any noise. It doesn't produce any kind of stinky sort of gases or anything like that. It's not, it's not a dangerous device. And even if you have a gas generator, well, what do you do when you run out of gas? This uses the sun and it works in harmony with Mother Nature. Go to sunshinesimple.com to learn more about it. Sunshinesimple.com. We've been selling these for 5 years. And boy, do people love the Sunshine Simple solar generator for the home. Before the break, I was telling you that I went to the big mall here in San Antonio, Texas, and purchased the perfect little Santa Claus doll. He's probably about 10 inches tall. He's very elaborate. And I figured I would use him as my model in Tulpa experiments. meaning that basically for days I figured whenever I'm here in this isolated building out here on this piece of property with a cemetery behind it on this ranch, whenever I'm out here at night by myself, because, you know, I've been doing radio interviews out here, I would set this Santa Claus in a particular position, and every single time I remembered, I would look over at him and just really take a moment to stare at him and think about his impression. And there have been times when I have just, you know, turned off everything distracting and sat here by myself and meditated. I even have some Tibetan emos, which are little things you put over your eyes to help lower you into the theta brain state. If you don't know what that is, go to joshuapwarren.com and click the link to the Curiosity Shop, and you can see what I'm talking about. But I've been doing everything I can to see how much of an impression that I can form in the environment of this little Santa Claus, to see if when he's not around, when this doll's not here, am I not only going to be able to see him, but possibly, and this would be a big deal for me, photograph the tulpa. That's what I'm hoping I can do, is take some pictures or some video or whatever at some point and actually photograph the tulpa of this little Santa Claus doll. I know that may sound absolutely ridiculous, but the point of this story so far is that I'm out here in this building, which already, you know, there's this sort of spiritual context because of the history of this property. Santa Ana's men came through here. They found old swords and parts of muskets over the years and all kinds of little, you know, weird things like that on this property. So this is a place that's already, you know, drenched in history as well, blood. So that's the backdrop, and I'm trying to create some kind of a tulpa here. So after days of me focusing on creating a tulpa in this building, just me being the only one out here doing this, finally, last night, Lauren and I decided, I had an evening where I didn't have any radio interviews lined up, and I'd been wanting to get to Austin for a while. A lot of people compare Austin to Asheville. You know, in Asheville, they say, you know, keep Asheville weird. Well, they say the same thing in Austin. Keep Austin weird. That's where you actually have the Museum of the Weird, which I've been to a number of times. They actually, I guess a couple years ago, they had the Minnesota Iceman on display there. I'm not sure if he's still there or if they've loaned him out. But anyway, you've got all kinds of, you know, quirky stuff. I even went, I'm getting a bit ahead of myself, but there's a shop there in Austin called Uncommon Objects, which, if you've ever seen that show, Oddities, is kind of like the Austin version of that. It's a big store with all kinds of strange, you know, mysterious occult stuff in it, as well as things that are just kind of quirky, you know, gadgets and stuff like that. So Lauren and I decided, I didn't have any interviews, hey, let's drive an hour and 10 minutes and let's just hang out in Austin for most of the evening. So we went to Austin, went to Uncommon Objects, had a great time, went to a really nice place called the Shiner's Saloon, which is, I highly recommend it, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm not being paid to say that. I mean, just had a nice time there in Austin. And then got back here, kind of late. So Lauren and I are in the main house here on this piece of property. And we're standing there in the kitchen putting together a little late night meal. And at that point, Linda, Lauren's mom, she hadn't gone to bed yet. So she comes in there and she's talking to us. So the three of us are standing there in the kitchen. And Dale is asleep already in the bedroom. But there's nobody else, supposedly, on this big-ass property, this big ranch here, okay? Just the four of us. Myself, Lauren, Linda, and Dale. And again, Dale's sleeping. Well, at this point, it's almost midnight. and we hear the phone ring. And it sounds like it's, I wasn't sure exactly whose phone it was, but I think it was, you know, maybe Dell's cell phone ringing. And immediately, Linda, Lauren's mom, says, "Oh, that's weird. I wonder who'd be calling Dell at this time of night. It's almost midnight." And, you know, then we kind of blow it off. Well, a couple minutes later, Dell opens the bedroom door, and he comes out, and he says, "Hey, what's going on?" And we say, "Huh?" And he goes, "Yeah, I just got a call from 911. And we say, "Huh?" He says, "Yeah." He says, 911 just called and said that they received a 911 call from the office building. Is Josh back there?" And we're like, "What?" And I'm like, "No, I'm right here." And he says, "Yeah, they just said that," because you can tell what number, of course, is placing the call. "The phone in this building where I've been working on creating this tulpa called 911. And Dale says to 911, I'm not aware of any problem that's going on. And once he confirmed that we were all in the kitchen and everything was fine, he says, "Oh, okay, well, whatever," and just went back to bed. So at that point, Lauren and Linda and I all look at each other and say, "What the you-know-what?" Okay? In this dark building, which is, you know, a quarter mile away, where I've been out here working on this, somebody has called 911. So now the next step is, has somebody broken into that building? And, you know, what is going on here? So, I mean, talk about, you know, goosebumps. So I say, "Well, I wouldn't be worth my salt as a paranormal investigator if I didn't get in the truck and drive over there right now and see what's going on. Because maybe something out there is called 911 because it needs some attention." We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you what happened when I got in the truck and I drove over to this building to see who or what called 911 at 11:53 p.m. when supposedly there's nobody in this place where I've been working on creating a tulpa. My name is Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is presented by Wright's Coin Shop. Again, the number to Wright's is 828-985402. And you're listening to Speaking of Strange. And we are in the final minutes of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show presented by Wright's Coin Shop. But guess what? Well, there is another hour of the show remaining, and that is the one we call the Dark 30 Hour. And we call it that because, well, by then we are deep into safe harbor, and that means we can talk about some of the more controversial, sordid, and seedy news, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. And so you can decide whether or not you want to stick around for that. By the way, Sam, did you notice what all the bumper has in common this hour?
You can ask Shelley. I was talking about it during the break. I said there seems to be an undercurrent of synthesizer music.
Yeah, it's all electronica.
Early electronica.
I love the Doctor Who.
Turns out Shelley hates Chariots of Fire.
Yes, I do.
What?
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Who hates Chariots of Fire?
But Doctor Who theme got a home run, so.
And she didn't mind Axel Foley either.
Nope. I loved those movies. They were so much fun.
Whenever Shelley says something like, I hate Chariots of Fire, I just have to remind myself she likes going to the dentist.
Oh, Shelanor.
Actually, I think she loves it. Isn't that right, Shelley? Isn't that what you said you love?
I do, but that's because it's always a fun place for me to go. It's more of a social time. There's not a whole lot to do on my teeth. And so, you know, it's catching up and telling jokes and laughing and, you know.
None of those are words that I have ever used.
Making time to go with the other hygienist to lunch and talk about ghosty things.
Although I will say that my former dentist's office, the ladies there, they love them some Sam Steele.
Oh, I bet they do.
I mean, even like with cotton jammed in my mouth, I'll make them laugh.
I'll
make them laugh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, okay, guys. Here's the summary of this. 911 was called at almost midnight from this building where I've been working on creating this tulpa. So I get in the truck and I drive out here a little past midnight by myself to walk in to see, is there a person who's broken in here or what? I come into this building and everything looks completely normal. And so I stood there for a moment and I said, hey, you called 911. You obviously want attention. I'm here. Show yourself.
You're challenging Santa Claus?
Well, whoever. Who? Maybe if it's Santa Claus, fine.
St. Nicholas, Shelley.
You bearded. And so,
but if it's the Krampus, you're in big trouble, because I've seen pictures of that thing.
Yeah, I could have taken a weapon with me, but I chose to go in unarmed.
Well, what would you do with a weapon? We know it's not a person, right?
You knew that. It'd be a person.
Mm.
But you know, the fact of the matter is, everything was completely quiet and normal, and I didn't see anything strange. Now, that said, here is what I want to say to all of you listening to this program. When things like that happen, it's not a coincidence. It's a little sign that, ooh-hoo, it's working. Something's manifesting. Something's materializing here. So, I now want to continue doing what I'm doing, but now I want all of you to help me. And here's how you can do this. I have described to you the scenario that I'm in. I've told you what this area looks like. I've told you, you know, how I'm treating this subject. Right now, I'm standing in this room, and in front of me is a little wooden table. And there is an elaborate 10-inch tall Santa Claus figure standing there. Now, I could take a picture of this and put it on the internet, but I choose not to do that because I'd rather you use your imagination. and I'd rather you take what I'm telling you and digest it in your own way. And I want you to start sending out your vibe. Start right now. I want you to start projecting in your out of your mind to where I am right here in outside of San Antonio, Texas. Project this Santa Claus image, this little Santa Claus image, and burn it. Burn it into this chunk of space-time. Because I'm going to continue my experiments here, and I believe that eventually I'm going to get some pretty damn cool results to share with the world. But I need all of your collective input right now. All you have to do is think. Just close your eyes and imagine it. And if enough of you do this, it can make a difference. We're going to take a break. When we come back, one more hour of the show remains. And yes, it's the one we call the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You are listening to Speaking of Strange.